I want to say a few words on Psalm 15. Now, I'm taking a risk in this short video clip. I know that if people want to warp, twist, distort the words I use, and make out that I'm saying something that I'm not saying, then of course, I suppose that is their prerogative. But let me do all I can to nip that in the bud and put a stop to that before it even starts. Psalm 15 is an integral part of the Word of God. It's part of the infallible, inspired, God-breathed, inerrant Word of God, the Scriptures. And these words apply to men today, men and women, believers and unbelievers. They have their application. God spoke through David centuries ago in Psalm 15, but he speaks today by his Spirit through this same passage of Scripture. Have I covered every loophole? I hope so. I don't know what else to say. This is an integral part of the everlasting, ever-living, all-powerful Word of God. And nothing that I say must be distorted, warped, twisted to say, make me say that anything different to that. But having said that, how do we, and I address now those of us, those of you who are true believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, and I link myself with you, how do we as true believers in our Lord Jesus Christ read passages such as Psalm 15? Now, although there are nuances and shades of opinion, basically there are two ways of reading the Bible. The Reformers taught, and Covenant theologians follow them by and large, the Reformers taught that the Bible is a flat book, and whether you're in Psalm 15, or Hebrews 10, or whether you're in Genesis 2, or whether you're in Ephesians chapter 3, or whatever, the Bible is a flat book, all equally of equal value, all saying the same thing. There's such a strong continuity in the Scriptures that the Bible is virtually flat. And of course, as a consequence of that, such teachers move without any hint of or suggestion of any difficulty, move between Israel and the church, circumcision and infant baptism and such like. That is one approach. It is quite unscriptural. It does not take into account at all the full teaching of Scripture about itself. For the Bible shows me unmistakably that though there is a very strong continuity throughout the Scriptures, there is also a striking discontinuity. I mean, I haven't time now to develop this. I have in other video clips and books and articles and sermons and so on. But Hebrews 8, for example, Jeremiah 31, there was the Old Covenant, but there's the New Covenant. The Old Covenant has been rendered obsolete, fulfilled, in Christ, who has established the new covenant. Now, there is one discontinuity. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I know the but is not in the text, but I've argued very powerfully, I think, and clearly, I think the Scripture shows that the but is paramount in that text. There is the contrast there. There is a continuity throughout Scripture. God, the same, writing in Psalm 15, as he is in 1 Corinthians 15. Nevertheless, there is a discontinuity. And this plays out very powerfully when we read such passages and we preach them. Imagine you're going to preach this now. How will you apply it? To the believer and the unbeliever. I've said it does apply. Now, how are you going to apply it? If you're one of these continuity men, one of these flat book men, If you're not careful, you will end up with what? You will end up with salvation by works. Let me just read it to you. Who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, and so on and so on. Read it through. It's only 5 verses. Psalm 15 shows salvation by works. And if you fail in one of those works, if you break one of those commandments, for example, if you lend your money at interest, if you ever break your word, if you ever speak falsely, if you ever fail to walk blamelessly, then you will never ascend the hill of the Lord. You will not dwell with God. You will not be reconciled to him. It is salvation by works from first to last. He who does these things, that's what it says, he who does these things shall never be moved. It's salvation by works. Of course it is the old covenant. Do these things and live. Fail to do them and you will not live. Now, if you preach this in the flat book mode, you will end up with salvation by works. And more, you will end up with nobody being saved. You'll never be saved, my friend. I don't care who you are. You will never be saved, nor will I. Have you lived and walked blamelessly all your days? Of course you haven't. Have you never gone back on your word? Have you ever had bad thoughts in your heart? Do you keep your word always? Have you got any money in the bank? And so on. Come on. There is no salvation by the works of the law, is there? And that's what this psalm is speaking. But of course, if you rightly understand, as you must, this is Psalm 15, we're in the days of the Old Covenant, then this is how I would preach it. I'll make this point to you. This is what it was in the Old Covenant. But Christ came, and you see, he kept this. This is Matthew 5, 17 to 21. This is the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisee. And Christ is by perfection. Read Romans 8, 1 to 4, and many other places. This is the glory of this passage. Christ came under the law, Galatians 4, 4, made under the law, kept the law, offered himself as a perfect sacrifice under the law, and was fully accepted in life and death and in resurrection by his Father. And all my hope on Christ is founded. His blood, his righteousness, his obedience. That's the first application I see of that for me. Sinner, you need a righteousness. You need this perfection. And Christ alone offers this perfection. But he does offer it. That's why he became a man. That's why he lived and died and rose again. And he offers perfection of righteousness and full salvation to all who trust him. But there is a second application. This passage applies to me as a believer. I now am perfect in Christ. By one offering he has perfected forever all who are in him. But they are being sanctified. Without holiness, it is impossible to be and meet with and to come to God. He that comes to God must believe, and he must live according to that faith in obedience to Christ, the law of Christ. I've written about this, I've preached about it, and I've published video clips on all this. So I see Psalm 15 speaking to me of the perfection of Christ that I have in him by faith, but I see the standard here, Christ himself, that I now by his Spirit, because in the new covenant he has given me his Spirit, he has given me a new heart, a new mind, a new will. And I love to walk in this way of holiness. And without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Who shall sojourn in your tent, O Lord? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? The man who is in Christ, that's the lesson today. And the man who walks in Christ. So this is my positional sanctification, and it's my progressive sanctification. I'm not justified by my works, but my works come in now in obedience to Christ because I am justified. I've written on this redemption history through covenants. I've written on it in fivefold sanctification and so on, and positional sanctification, the consequences. These lessons are very plain here. Now, the covenant theologian has to squirm here. He wants to keep his idea of the flat book, but if he does, he'll end up preaching salvation by works. Unbeliever, you can do all the rites and ceremonies and works that you like, but you will be damned at the last because you are not in Christ. Trust the merits of Jesus. Rest in his righteousness. Rest in his precious blood. Look to Jesus. And all who look to Christ shall be everlastingly saved because they are holy. Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? The full gospel revelation now, the answer is the man, the woman that is in Christ. And you come into Christ by trusting him. So I plead with you, I urge you, come into Jesus now, even as you are listening to this or watching this. Look to Jesus now and be everlastingly saved. You will never be moved. You'll be with God now and forever in everlasting glory and bliss. But outside of Christ, you will perish and perish forever. May it not be so. Look to Jesus now.